morning. I'm new at the gadgets, so bear with me this morning. My name is Terry Shepherd, and if you don't know me, hey guys, most of you do, yes, I know, but good morning, my lovely Christchurch family. I am Terry Shepherd and the assistant youth pastor. I've been promoted, apparently. So, Jesus is called by many names in the Bible. A few of these are Messiah, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, Prince of Peace, and Lord. There is nothing common about the names of Jesus. There's only one Jesus, one Savior, one Son of God, and one Prince of Peace. But when we get to the word Lord on the name of the names given to Jesus, it seems to be out of place because it is common. It's a common name, and therefore the meaning is often taken for granted. It's important to note that Jesus is not only called Lord by others, but Jesus also refers to himself as Lord. Most of us have a pretty good idea of the meaning of the word Lord, but as we look closer, we gain more insight. Generally speaking, a Lord is someone with authority or control or power over others. To say that someone is Lord is to consider that person a master or ruler of some kind. In Jesus' day, the word Lord was often used as a title of respect toward authorities. When the leper called Jesus Lord in Matthew 8:2, he was showing Jesus respect as a healer and a teacher. The dictionary also says a Lord is a person who has great influence. And I think we can agree that these attributes can be applied to Jesus. When we look at the scripture up on the screen, now I am going to look because earlier we were having a little bit of technical difficulty. So Jesus himself is telling us the significance of being called Lord. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't say what I do?" He is saying, if you put me in the place of authority and call me Lord, do what I say. So this begs the question, why? Why does Jesus get this kind of authority? Why does he get to be called Lord? Go to the next slide. The Apostle Paul links the connection between the obedience of Christ and his lordship in the book of Philippians. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This scripture is important to understand. God the Father exalted Jesus and gave him this authority because Jesus Christ, his Son, surrendered himself in absolute obedience to God and accomplished the work of salvation through crucifixion and has taken full authority over evil through his resurrection. So what does this mean for us? What do we do? Jesus was obedient to God. We need to be obedient to Jesus. Put the next slide up. The starting point of our Christian walk is this verse. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." This is how our walk with Christ should begin, by recognizing and confessing that he is Lord. This is how salvation is obtained. However, we must move beyond this point to grow and mature as Christians. Our faith must be rock solid and on firm, good soil. The troubles, waves, and turmoil will come, but our faith must be matured in order to withstand. Saying Jesus is Lord is only part of it. Our faith journey matures by doing what the Lord says and applying what he says to our lives. He knows what is best and what is good for us in all things. And to gain what is best for us, we must be obedient to him. When we are obedient, we are placing Jesus in our lives as our Lord. So what about this obedience thing? When I look at Luke 6:46 again, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I ask myself, am I doing what the Lord says? Well, I'm trying. Am I allowing Jesus to have great influence over my life? Well, I'm trying. Am I responding to him in complete obedience? No. I am human, and I was born into sin. I sin every day. I don't want to, but I do. Unfortunately for me, for us, we have a very forgiving and gracious God. But can I do better? The answer is obviously yes. No matter where we are in our faith journey, we can always mature more and move closer to Jesus' example of how we ought to live our lives. One of the best ways to learn obedience to the Lord is by reading His Word. Yes, reading His Word. The Bible contains the words of the Lord. Therefore, we should be, need to be reading it if we're serious about having a closer, more personal relationship with Jesus. When I started reading the Bible consistently, it changed my life. It continues to change my life. It has changed my prayer life beyond belief. My personal relationship with Jesus is closer than I ever even knew it could be, all by reading and studying the Word of God. And the Bible says we're supposed to. It's part of that obedience thing. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20 says, "When he," meaning the Israelite king, "is seated on his royal throne, he is to write a copy of this instruction for himself on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It is to remain with him, and he is to read from it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and observe all the words of this instruction and to do these statutes. Then his heart will not be exalted above his countrymen. He will not turn from the command to the right or to the left, and he and his sons will continue ruling many years over Israel." That's a big deal. The king of Israel was instructed not only to write himself a copy of the law, but to read from it every day. Reading God's word will keep us oriented on the right path and humble. Try this. If you're not in the word consistently, read a chapter a night right before bed. It takes only a few minutes, and even though you may really be tired from the day, it's not going to break you. A few more minutes will not break you. Scripture is refreshing, and it keeps us on track and our minds on God, who, remember, wants the best for us. And in Acts 17:11, it says, "The people here were more noble than those in Thessalonica, since they welcomed the message with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if those things were so." The process of learning is also a process of searching the scriptures. We have so many people in the world who will tell us what God wants of us, but until we begin the process of examining their teaching with God's word, we won't be able to know if it's godly or if it only sounds godly. There is scripture after scripture that talks about the importance of God's word, and we must be obedient to it to the best of our ability. Our ability includes taking time to read the word, understand it, study it, apply it to our everyday lives, even when it's not popular with modern world culture. There's a song called "The Word" by Sarah Groves. I'm sure many of you have heard it. We're going to take a listen to it, and I want you to pay attention to the words up on the screen. I want you to see how true this is for our society today.
Been every place emotional. Try to hear a new word from God, and I think it's very odd that while I attempt to help myself, my Bible sits upon the shelf with every promise I could ever need. And the word was, the word is, and the word will be. Tailored suit, does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The word was, and the word is, and the word will be. The word was, and the word is, and the word will be. Seek ye first what a verse. We are pressed but not crushed, perplexed but don't despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are no longer slaves, we are daughters and sons. And when we are weak, we are very strong.
Those are some profound words, if you ask me. I believe this song is very relevant in today's free-for-all culture. We hear about the battles against the truths of God every night on the news. What are some of the truths of God that are taking hits in the media and in the world culture today? What is God's truth on family, on marriage, on homosexuality, on sex, drugs, alcohol? What is God's truth on love? Love your neighbor as yourself. Or love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. God's truth is not popular right now in the world, but are we standing on God's truth and obedience to him anyway? Or are we picking and choosing which truths to believe or to try on like a new tailored suit and discarding the ones we don't like or that aren't in style in a Salvation Army pile? I read this week that two rock-solid, biblically-based Christian organizations were labeled as hate groups simply because they stood on the biblical standards of God's truth. We don't get to judge God's word. We aren't important enough to do that. We don't get to pull a truth here or there out of the Bible, examine it, try it on, and decide if it fits. Even when it's very unpopular with world standards, we may get derided and attacked because the world has turned the love of God upside down. And now God's truth and love to the outside world is viewed as hateful. We know that's not true because God loves us enough to warn us with this. Next slide. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." There are many things in the world that the world is calling good that God calls evil. I encourage you to look closely at the scriptures and understand what God is saying about those things, because personally, I don't want to be on the woe side of this verse. When God says woe, I sit up and take notice. I want to be on the flip side of that. I want to call good what God calls good. It's best that way. He's for us. He loves us. Everything God does is born out of his selfless love for us. He wants the best for us. He says in his word that love, godly love, is good. So it is good. Love the Lord your God first. It's good to do that. Because when our mind is on him, it's off the sin of the world. When he says traditional biblical family is good, he means it. It's what's in our best interest. If we call on the name of Jesus and call him Lord, we must take him at his word, and his truth is written and recorded in the Bible. So then, is the Bible relevant? Well, of course it is. All of it? Of course it is. The Bible is truth in its entirety. The Old Testament is just as relevant as the New Testament. We know that because Jesus, as God's living messenger, quotes the Old Testament no less than 78 times from 15 Old Testament books. Jesus furthermore refers to the Old Testament's divine authority. Jesus also refers to the Old Testament as the scriptures, the word of God, and the wisdom of God. As well as in hundreds of places, the Old Testament predicted the events of the New Testament, and together the Old Testament and New Testament must be taken as the relevant word of God. By spending time with the Lord on a daily basis, by reading the word, prayer, and worship, and gathering with other Christians at church, it's vitally important to grow in our faith. And doing these things honor God as long as our heart is in the right place while we're doing them. You may say, but you don't know how busy my life is. All I can tell you that from my own experience, doing a busy life with prayer, worship, and reading the word is way better than doing a busy life without those things. It's priorities, and we get to choose the priorities for ourselves. Staying a baby Christian is an option. It's not a good one, in my opinion, but it is an option. Yes, growing up is harder, but there are more rewards with it. Let me tell you some of my journey, how I am learning to call Lord Jesus Lord and mean it, to the best of my ability at this point in my life. I had to work for where I'm at now. It didn't just happen to me, but good things are worth working for. My time with God now is an absolute delight. It is sweet. It's not drudgery. I look forward to it. I love my time with God. It feeds my soul. I crave this time, and I can't be without it. It is my addiction. But it wasn't always that way. I've been a Christian for less than half my life, and many of those first years of Christianhood, I stayed a baby Christian. I didn't have anyone to feed into me. I didn't even know I was supposed to find people to help me grow. I had no church and no friends, as my husband and I had just moved to a new state, and no idea that I should even read the Bible. I didn't understand it anyway. But I was very hungry for God. I had no idea how to feed that hunger for several years, and it just wouldn't go away. It gnawed at me constantly. So I did what I knew I was supposed to do, and that was pray. I was in prayer a lot with God, but I was throwing up prayers to him without much regard to listening for a reply from him. My daughter, Danny, says it's like inviting Jesus to tea and coffee and not letting him talk at all. I definitely dominated the conversation. I remember being in a church in Phoenix in my early Christian walk, and a lady said that God spoke to her. I was so exasperated and frustrated, I wasn't hearing from God like that. I was actually screaming at her, in my head, of course. How? I don't get it. I just don't get it. So fast forward a number of years and moved to Minnesota, where God, in his mercy, put me in a place to be fed properly. At this point in my journey, I had learned that God said, if you seek me, you will find me. Alrighty then, I'm on it. So I started reading my Bible more and really paying attention while studying it. I noticed that God was speaking to people directly in the Old Testament and through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And I was still hearing people around me say things like, God spoke to me. I still wasn't hearing anything. But the fire in my soul said, I want that. Yes, I knew God was speaking to me through his word and through other people, and that's amazing, but I wanted more. I wanted that close personal relationship where he, the Lord of the universe, was speaking to me. By this time, I had grown up enough to understand that that kind of relationship with God was possible. Before that, I really had no idea. Seek me and you will find me. So I sought in earnest. I read. I spent time with him. I made sure I was around godly people who would help me grow. And wow, what a difference having godly people around you makes. Being in a small group really helps. I would highly encourage you to join a small group this fall. And then I started hearing from the Lord. The Holy Spirit would speak to me if I would only sit still long enough to hear, quiet myself, which is still a struggle. It takes practice. Be in prayer and worship in the Word, truly seeking. I took the time. Even though my life was crazy busy, it's those priorities. This is what my listening time with God looks like now. Remember, this took time and effort to get to this place, but it has been so worth it. When I am in the part of my time with God where I am doing nothing else but listening to him, I start by picturing Jesus. Then I ask him the same question every day. I ask, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? And on days where I can quiet myself enough to hear, making sure he is put in his rightful place in my mind and heart, he speaks. Sometimes in words, sometimes he shows me things, sometimes it's impressions. God speaks to different people in different ways, but most often for me, it's in words or he's showing me something. And I am very careful to make sure that anything I believe to be words from God align biblically. God will not contradict himself, and he always acts and speaks in love. If those things aren't present, it is not God speaking. I would be remiss if I didn't give an example. I love this. This so illustrates how God delights in spending time with us. I could feel the Lord's presence on this particular day last week when I was talking to him about the sermon I'm giving today. And at one point in our conversation, Jesus said to me, he said, "Fathom this, you are created with an endless love." This statement was curious because how he worded it didn't seem to fit the current conversation that we'd been having at all. Like I said, I could feel his presence and I knew there was more to this statement. The Lord knows that I'm a wordy. I really enjoy studying the meanings of words. I mused over that word fathom for a while. I knew what it meant, but there had to be more. So I looked up fathom in the dictionary, and yep, I was right. But I could feel the Lord urging me on. I was really enjoying this time with him. So I looked up synonyms or words that have similar meanings to fathom. And yep, those were the words I expected: appreciate, comprehend, figure out, pinpoint. But the seventh word in the list, well, that was interesting. The seventh word in the list is divine. So I read it with divine replacing fathom. Divine this, you are created with an endless love. Okay? Or was there something more about those words? Was it about the other words? I read it again. I thought about it. I prayed about it. I talked with him about it. But I could feel there was more. So I looked up synonyms for divine. And as I read through the list, I about fell out of my chair. The power of God's holiness washed over me, a move of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Jesus is divine, and he was showing me who he was. This is the list: angelic, celestial, eternal, heavenly, holy, marvelous, mystical, religious, sacred, spiritual, supernatural, transcendent, wonderful, almighty, anointed, consecrated, exalted, hallowed, sanctified, superlative, all-powerful, ambrosial, beatific, beautiful, blissful, deific, deistic, excellent, glorious, godly, immaculate, magnificent, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, rapturous, sacramental, sacrosanct, splendid, supreme, theistic, transcendental, and transmundane. This is why I call Jesus Lord. This is why he is the Lord of all. He is all of these things and more, and we are none of those things. Yet, the Lord Jesus loves us with an endless love that is full of grace and forgiveness. He said, you, all of you, are loved with an endless love. That means now, not at some future point, no matter where you are in your journey with the Lord, if we haven't, or even if we haven't accepted him yet as Lord, each of us are deeply loved and wanted by the Lord. Remember, I had been speaking to Jesus about his lordship. He brought me to this point in a conversation with him to give me a fuller understanding of what it means. If I'm going to talk about it, I need to know what it means. All the while playing and having fun with me and telling me how much he loved me. This wasn't work. This was fun doing it. Fathom this. You are created with an endless love, and in that is his divineness. God calls us on this journey. Paul says the journey involves moving from milk to solid food. We don't move from milk one day to a T-bone steak the next. It's a process, and he is with us the whole way, encouraging us on. He is our biggest fan. When he gives us milk as a baby Christian and we take it, he delights and encourages us to the next step. When he gives us oatmeal and we take it, he encourages us to the next step. When he gives us a T-bone steak and we take it, he delights and encourages us to the next step. We as followers of Christ must acknowledge him in all of our ways by giving God my time and attention, which is his rightful due. I have a fuller appreciation of who Jesus is and why I am devoted to him and why I call him Jesus Lord. No, I'm not all grown up yet, but I can't wait to see what the next meal he has in store for me. I encourage you, wherever you are in your walk, to dig deeper, to hunger more, to submit more to the King. It's worth it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Thank you for letting us have a fuller understanding of what lordship means and putting you in that place. Father, I pray that you will create a hunger, a more of a hunger in each of us, Lord God, as we go out through this week. Create a hunger in us for you, Lord God, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord God, I pray over my Christ Church family, and I thank you for them. We pray again for all the suffering in Louisiana and Texas. We also pray for Montana. They are burning up. There's 64 active fires up there, and it's not getting any news. So we pray for them as well, Lord God. We pray your holiness over this nation. We give you all thanks and glory in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.